Welcome to Left Out on WRCT 88.3 FM. Left Out presents news and opinions from a perspective that is left out of the mainstream media. I'm Robert Harper.
I'm Danny Slater.
And today's program, is, as usual, is produced by Jay Thurber. Listeners are very welcome to call us at 412-621-9728, or on campus, that's 89728. Or if you wish, you can send electronic mail to bob@leftout.info.
So today, it's our first show of the summer, and we'll be, again, continuing every 2 weeks, as we did in the spring, with our show Left Out. Today we have a guest, Dr. Dan Fine, who is a doctor who spent most of his career in the Pittsburgh area and retired from medical practice in 1996. He spent a lot of time since he retired working on the issue of nuclear weapons and abolishing nuclear weapons with organizations such as the Physicians for Social Responsibility. And so that's a topic we want to talk about for the first part of our show. And so, Dan, could you just give me a summary of why you think this issue is so important and why the PSR is so interested in this?
Well, we are living and have been living really for the last five decades with nuclear weapons, which are the preeminent quintessential weapons of mass destruction. Incomparable to any others in terms of the devastation that they produce, the threat that they produce, that they represent for human survival. And physicians who started Physicians for Social Responsibility 40 years ago had made studies of the effects of nuclear weapons, and they concluded that there could be no meaningful medical response to the use of nuclear weapons. And so following the basic model of public health, they concluded that the only possible action was prevention. Prevention means abolition of the lethal agent, which in this case is nuclear weapons.
But hasn't, since the end of the Cold War a decade ago or so, hasn't the U.S. scaled back its nuclear weapons and cut down the readiness of the launch the weapons and reduce production and all that? I mean, obviously that's the thing to do. Isn't the U.S. doing that?
Well, one would think so. We had hoped and expected that with the end of the Cold War that would happen. But nuclear weapons have become largely invisible, but their existence has continued really unchanged. The number of deployed strategic weapons on the part of the United States, for example, and the former Soviet Union, has been reduced only minimally. And between the two, there are still 5,000 warheads that are on so-called hair trigger launch on warning, which means that a decision would need to be made by the president or whoever, any place from 10 minutes to 20 minutes after a signal is received that an apparent attack is underway. And this is an incredibly dangerous situation that we're living with. It's fraught with hazard from a possible accidental launch, inadvertent launch, and there have been many so-called broken arrows over the years where there has been misinterpretation of radar data that could easily result in that kind of a launching of an unintended nuclear war. So we are living with an invisible threat, which is of great magnitude, in many ways greater magnitude than existed even during the Cold War, for reasons that we can talk about if you'd like.
Who are they? So it's still the Soviet Union that's basically got these weapons that are aimed at the U.S., and the U.S. is aiming them at the Soviet Union. Is that the main?
Well, I would say we are certainly the preeminent actors as nuclear powers. We have overwhelmingly the largest number of deployed nuclear weapons, but there are three other officially declared nuclear states. There is India and Pakistan, and there is Israel, which is an undeclared but clearly a nuclear weapon state. And there are many states that are nuclear, have the capacity to develop nuclear weapons. So the problem continues, and I have to say, as an American citizen concerned about these issues, that the only way this problem will be dealt with is by the United States taking leadership to get rid of nuclear weapons. And we are very, very far distant from any kind of a declared or undeclared go along those lines. Let me just make one quick point about that, that there is a thing called the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which was instituted by the former Soviet Union and the United States, came into force in 1970, and that treaty obligates us and the other nuclear weapons powers to get rid of our nuclear weapons. And we are in clear violation of the obligations of that treaty, and in fact, many things that we've been undertaking in the last few years under the present administration make the problem of proliferation of nuclear weapons much greater than it was before.
We're talking to Dr. Dan Fine. This is Left Out on WRCT. You can give us a call at 412-621-9728. So in terms of these treaties, actually the U.S., so you're saying it's in violation or abrogating the responsibilities of the non-proliferation treaty, but actually it seems as though, under especially the Bush administration, it's pretty much in abrogation of almost all of its, almost any treaty that it doesn't like. It'll just ignore it. I mean, that's a more general point, but that's my, you know, way of looking at it. I mean, the environmental treaty, the Kyoto stuff, the trade things. It's just,
and more to the point, the ABM treaty. I wonder if you might want to comment on that.
Well, absolutely. You can get down the line, and the ABM treaty is an important example of that. That treaty was instituted by President Nixon and the Russians when it was recognized that trying to develop a so-called nuclear defense would greatly aggravate and accelerate the nuclear arms race. And for that reason, that treaty was in force. It was basically abided by for many years. And the present administration has explicitly abrogated that treaty, probably illegally, since that treaty was ratified by the United States Senate, but it was abrogated unilaterally, if you will, by the president without any consultation or advice from the United States Senate. And this is a tremendous step backward. We are now embarked on, as a result of that, of building a dangerous and incredibly expensive boondoggle called ballistic missile defense.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk more about that because I know you've written a paper on the topic. But about the treaty you mentioned, to the extent that we are in abrogation of it, I would like to remind us that Article 16 of the Constitution states that any treaties to which we're signatory are, in fact, the law of the land. So if there is any abrogation of these treaties, then the persons responsible, namely the President and Secretary of Defense, are committing a crime. I mean, it's an impeachable offense. It's not a matter of they have the discretion to decide to ignore it.
Well, I'm not an expert on law or international law, but I agree entirely that international treaties are the law of the land, and we are in violation of many treaties, and many treaties that relate specifically to weapons of mass destruction, about which we've been fighting a terrible war in Iraq and have been fashioning many other policies in the name of preventing the use of weapons of mass destruction. And our violation of these treaties, of course, goes completely contradictory to that.
So I know you've written we have a link to a paper that you wrote called Why Ballistic Missile, quotes, defense is no joke and a bad joke. I wondered if you might say a bit more about that.
Well, the vision, the dream, if you will, of ballistic missile defense, both for the Russians and ourselves, has a long history. You may remember that President Reagan started a very big program based on a fantasy or at least scientifically advocated by Edward Teller, a noted nuclear physicist, which was called Star Wars. And that itself cost $60 billion. The history of trying to develop a nuclear shield, so-called, or ballistic missile defense, has now cost the United States a total of $130 billion. The present administration was hell-bent to develop and to deploy such a system, and probably because of the atmosphere of fear after 9/11, succeeded in not only abrogating the treaty unilaterally and I think illegally, but also getting Congress to support and fund the development of a so-called ballistic missile defense. And we now have a system which is being deployed. It's unproven, unprovable. Most physicists feel that it's unworkable. And without any tests to verify its workability, it is intended by the administration to bring it into operation in early 2005.
Now, that's amazing. So what is it that would be brought into operation?
Well, there's a system that involves launch sites, I believe, in Vandenberg Air Base in California and now in Alaska that supposedly, with a signal that an enemy, God knows whom, would be sending missiles to the United States, would then launch these other missiles that are supposed to hit them like a bullet hitting a bullet in mid-space and destroy the oncoming.
Are these the so-called boost phase detectors where while the rocket is launching?
No, these are not boost phase.
These are not
these
boost
are mid-course.
Phase. Mid-course, okay.
Yeah, and just very quickly, the reason why most experts in the field, among other reasons, say it's unworkable is because in outer space or in the area of mid-course, any country that is capable of launching nuclear missiles is capable of dispersing decoys. And
in space, a decoy balloon can look just as real as a missile.
Exactly. I mean, there are indications they can have the same shape, they will have the same velocity, the same image, if you will. And they can even be heated so that they send the same infrared signal to a potential vehicle. So it's basically unworkable. And aside from that, it's incredibly dangerous because the obvious response of any potential enemy, whether they are out there or not, is to greatly increase their number of missiles because they would view a ballistic missile defense as the basis for a country like the United States launching a first strike against them and having a potentially workable ballistic missile defense against them, taking out the response to that first attack. So it's incredibly dangerous. It can provoke nuclear war. It can lay the basis for the illusion of a first strike, and it certainly is a tremendous accelerator of the nuclear arms race.
Well, we're talking with Dan Fine, who's a member of the Physicians for Social Responsibility, who's talking today about nuclear proliferation. You can call us if you wish at 412-621-9728 or 268-9728 on campus, or send electronic mail to Bob at leftout.info. We'll take a quick break, and when we resume, we'll come back with Dan Fine. So we should.
Listening to Left Out on 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh. The National Weather Service has a severe thunderstorm watch out until 8 o'clock today and a flood watch until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Showers and thunderstorms with frequent lightning and heavy rainfall. Damaging winds and large hail are likely overnight. Lows in the lower 60s. Tomorrow morning, mostly cloudy. Showers and thunderstorms likely in the morning. A chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon tomorrow. Highs in the lower 70s. It's 75 degrees right now at WRCT. Stay tuned for Radio Nation coming up. at 7 o'clock here on 88.3 FM, right after Left Out.